We pray for your presence here right now, Lord. Bless Pastor Reese as she brings the message this morning, Lord, and help us to use it for our life, for our living, and for your glorification. We love you, we love you, we love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated, everyone.
Amen. Thank you, Ray, for leading us in worship through music today. One of the things that I love about God, and I love a lot of things about God, but one of the things that I love about God is that he invites all of us to worship him in spirit and in truth. So even outside of a Sunday morning without Ray, guess what? We can still worship God because it's not limited to music. Music is one vehicle that we can use to respond to God's goodness, but it's not the only way. I often tell people, you know, when you're at the grocery store and if you are having a pleasant conversation with the cashier, guess what? You're doing that as unto the Lord, and that is considered worship as well. You're acknowledging the humanity of another person. When you finish shopping, and guess what? You put your shopping cart where it belongs. That's an act of obedience, and obedience is an act of worship unto God. So it's not just limited to what we do here on a Sunday morning with beautiful music being played while we're singing. That's one slice of a larger picture of what worship actually is as we respond to the goodness of God. Amen? Amen. Amen. That's not what I'm here to talk about, but I just felt led to share that just, you know, in case somebody needed a reminder of like what worship actually is. It's so much more than what we think it is. Kaylin, my 18-year-old, is here with me this morning. It's bring your daughter to work day. Kaylin and I, we traveled, 2.5 hours to be here with you all. And I'm just going to share it how the Lord told me to share it, okay? I'm not trying to put a pretty package on this and a bow tie and all that other good stuff. This is how the Lord gave it to me, and I'm going to give it to y'all this way. I have no idea why he wanted me to share this specific message with this specific body today, but I do know that God is good and he makes no mistakes. So wherever this lands is wherever it lands today, okay? So I need to start off with a question. How many of you like change? Not change as in quarters and nickels, but change. You like transition. Or do you prefer predictability and consistency and stability?
Sometimes.
Both? Karen's like,
6, 7, a little bit.
Okay. Well, whether you like it or not, life happens, and change is inevitable. Here's the thing about transitions. Transitions can be complex. Transitions can be multidimensional. But ultimately, it's not necessarily the transition itself, but it's how you interpret and cope with the changes that determines the impact of the actual transition. I'll say it again. It's not just the transition that matters, but it's how you respond to that transition. It's how you react to the transition. It's how you cope with the transition, okay? Research tells us that there are 4 major types of transition, okay? So there's what's called anticipated transition, which is expected life events that most adults typically encounter and often plan for, such as graduation or marriage or having children or career changes or retirement, okay? Becoming a new parent or becoming an empty nester for the first time. That is considered an anticipated transition. Again, you plan for it, you expect it to happen, it happens, okay? But then there's something that researchers say is unanticipated transition. These are the ones that kind of catch you off guard. They're unexpected, you didn't plan for it, and these may occur without a specific timeline. Sudden illness, the loss of a job, a car accident. You don't plan. Nobody wakes up in the morning and says, "Today, I hope to lose my job." Nobody does that. Okay? If you do, there's help out there for you. Okay? I'm a big advocate for therapy. Trust me. So that's what some would consider an unanticipated transition. And then there's another type of transition. The third type is called non-event transition. This is where you actually plan to do something, you expect to do something, and it doesn't happen. So you plan for that promotion at work, and it doesn't happen. Or you get married and you plan to have children. You plan to bear children of your own from your own body, and it doesn't happen. It doesn't end up that way. And then there's the fourth type of transition that researchers talk about. It's called sleeper transition, okay? A sleeper transition happens gradually, it happens slowly, and it often may go unnoticed for a period of time before its full impact is felt and experienced, such as the slow deterioration of a relationship, or maybe the mastery of a skill. You wake up one day and you go, oh my goodness, I've been practicing Spanish for 4 years and I'm finally fluent. That's what's called a sleeper transition. Or it came out of nowhere. I had no idea that this relationship was falling apart. Okay, so again, four different types of transition: anticipated, unanticipated, non-event, and then sleeper transition. The sleeper transitions, I know people personally who are going through this right now where they no longer have to take care of an aging parent because the parent has passed away. And so what do you do in those moments when transition is inevitable and it happens right there in front of your face? When we read scripture, we're able to bear witness to how others have navigated life transitions. I love the major example of an anticipated transition. Who can we look to for the anticipated transition? Jesus himself. Jesus himself. In the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, synoptic means sin, S-Y-N, is the same. Optic meaning look, looks the same. So Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they all look the same. In the Synoptic Gospels, Jesus explicitly predicted his death and his resurrection, right? He foretold that he would be betrayed. He foretold that he would suffer at the hands of religious leaders. He foretold that he would be crucified, and he foretold that he would rise again on the third day. This was an anticipated transition. His story of anticipated transition shows us that some goodbyes make room for glorious hellos, and that even in death, God is with us. Even in death. Jesus tells us in John chapter 12, verse 24, "Very truly I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds." Jesus used this agricultural metaphor to mean that only by his sacrificial death would forgiveness and eternal salvation, eternal life, be possible for the world. Transitions happen. How about an example of an unanticipated transition? Anybody read Genesis chapter 12, Abram and Sarai? What happens here? God calls Abram to leave his homeland, to leave his extended family, to leave his comfort zone for a destination he had not even seen yet. I'm sorry, God, what are we doing? This is unanticipated. I'm not ready for this. What's going on? This unanticipated transition forced Abram to transition from a settled, established, comfortable life into a completely nomadic and unknown future. His story of an unanticipated transition shows us that major change requires a willingness to step into the unknown. Oh my goodness, I don't know if I have a witness right here. His story teaches us that trusting God's promises provides us with the courage to abandon what is comfortable in order to acquire a greater unseen purpose. I'll say that again. Abram's story teaches us that trusting God's promises provides us with the courage to abandon what is comfortable in order to acquire a greater unseen purpose. Transitions happen. How about a non-event transition? This might be a little funny, but we'll turn to We'll turn to Acts chapter 9 for this non-event transition. Saul to Paul. You see, in Acts chapter 9, we see someone who expected to and planned on continuing to persecute the church of Jesus Christ. But what happens? What happens? It didn't turn out that way, right? Saul went from spewing out murderous threats to Paul, who started spreading the teachings of Jesus Christ and ultimately became the most fruitful church planter. That was a non-event transition. This man was set on persecuting the people of God. Plot twist. Doesn't happen that way. Paul's story of non-event transition teaches us that God's ways are not our ways. And you can plan all you want, but ultimately God's will for your life will prevail. Transitions happen. And then finally, an example of a sleeper transition. We look at the book of Joshua. This story follows Joshua taking over leadership of the Israelites after the death of Moses. He went from being an assistant to stepping into the primary leadership role to guide his people into the promised land. Joshua's story of sleeper transition reminds us that whatever God calls you to, he will make you strong and courageous enough to get the job done. Even if you feel unqualified, even if you are filled with doubt, even if you have lots of questions. God, I was just the assistant. I have no idea how to lead these people. What's going on? God will make you strong.
Amen.
He will make you courageous, and you will get the job done, Kevin. Amen. You'll get the job done. Joshua's story shows us that during major life transitions, during major life changes, relying on God's promises, relying on God's presence, and relying on God's purpose is critical for overcoming self-doubt, for overcoming apprehension, and for overcoming the fear of the future. Transitions happen. What about you? What about you? What sort of anticipated transition, or unanticipated transition, or non-event transition, or sleeper transitions are you experiencing right now? And this is not just a rhetorical question. I actually want you to think about it. For some of you, it won't take long because it's right there in your face. Every morning you wake up and you go, yep, still in the transition. Still here, yep. What is this specific transition teaching you? For some of you, you are getting ready to move away to Spokane, Washington, and be a freshman at Gonzaga University, my child. For others of you, you are moving to a new city. For others of you, you know that your time is coming to an end with a loved one. What sort of transition are you in? What sort of transition is this church in? And what are these transitions teaching you? So again, actually think about it. Wherever you are and wherever you are going, let me encourage you today to turn down the noise of the world so you can hear the voice of the Lord say to you, just as he said to the people of Judah. In Isaiah chapter 30, verse 21, he says, whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. This is the way, walk in it. You see, the people of Judah, they were in transition themselves. God condemned them for self-reliance and trying to form an alliance with foreign powers instead of trusting God himself. They were seen as rebellious because they rejected God's guidance and truth. And instead, they only wanted to hear nice and flowery messages from their prophets. Because of their rebellion and rejection from the truth, God said that they would break in pieces like pottery, shattered so mercilessly that among its pieces not a fragment would be found. That was their ultimate fate. That's what was going to happen to them because of their rebellion and rejection of the truth. Again, that they would break in pieces like pottery, shattered so mercilessly that among its pieces not a fragment will be found. Whoa. So what did God do? He called them into a space of transition. He called them to repent. He called them to cry out to him and to him alone because he longed to be gracious and compassionate towards them. God longed to heal them of their emotional and spiritual wounds. And again, he told them, whether you turn, whether you wander to the right or to the left, your ears will hear. And in the original language in the Hebrew, this word hear, it literally means to listen and obey. Listen and obey. So whether you wander to the left or to the right, your ears will listen and obey a voice behind you saying, this is the way, this is the direction, this is the path, walk in it. And so what does this mean for us as followers of Christ? What does it look like to approach life transitions? How do we do this? How do we do it well? Well, we admit today that it takes time. It takes time. T-I-M-E, it takes time. And so what does it take? It takes trust. Trust in God. Trust is this secure and confident and bold reliance on the character of God. We believe that he is who he says he is. And we believe that he will do what he says he will do. It takes trust in God. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 reminds us, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all of your ways and he will direct your path. It's more than just a song that Ray was singing this morning. It's actually the word of God reminding us, again, to trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways, not some of your ways, in all of your ways. Ooh, even the bad ways, even the hard ways. In all of your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. So, it takes trust. It also takes indwelling of the Holy Spirit. What does that look like for us? You know, when you come to Christ, you come to community. There is no such thing as an isolated believer. When you come to Christ, you come to community. And also, when you come to Christ, the Holy Spirit takes up permanent residence inside of you. Holy Spirit gives you discernment. The Holy Spirit gives you guidance. The Holy Spirit empowers you to live a faithful life. And then, what is the evidence of his presence inside of you? It's the fruit of the Spirit. We like the, you know, like, oh, there's some grapes and there's lemons and there's apples and oranges. No, this is actual evidence, fruit, that I have the Holy Spirit permanently residing inside of me as a believer. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, faithfulness, kindness, goodness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Nothing else matters. Nothing else matters. I know some folks who, they love Jesus. Oh my goodness, they love Jesus. But they don't like people. And I say, contradictory, right? And I'm like, oh, how's that fruit working out? Because you need people. Amen. In order to work out this love, joy, peace, patience, amen, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Amen. There is no such thing as someone who claims to love Jesus and does not like his people. Amen. I'm protecting my peace. No, you're avoiding people. There's no way that you can show up and display evidence that you belong to Christ and you're isolated at your house all by yourself all day, every day. Don't want to go nowhere. Don't want to go to the potluck at Ezra's house later on this week. Like, you know what? How else are you supposed to practice the fruit of the Spirit? How else do you practice patience and love? Self-love, that's great, but how? Who else? What else? How? Where else? Self-control. You've practiced that with people. So in the midst of these life transitions, we rely on the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. We also rely on, of course, like we said earlier, we trust in God. The M in time, we maintain our peace. What does it look like to maintain your peace? This looks like emotional regulation. How many of you know that many of our transitions become bigger than what they should be because we fail to mitigate, like we fail to regulate our emotions. If the transition is on a scale of 1 to 10, if the transition is at a 10, we're like at a 15, and we're making it worse, and it ends up becoming 100, and it's like, girl, calm down. Like be so rooted in Christ that nothing will move you from the right or to the left, but you are stable, you are firm, like we are rooted, we're grounded. And what does peace look like? Peace is not just the absence of conflict or the absence of disturbance, but peace in its original definition, it actually is the presence of whatever it takes to flourish. Whatever it takes to experience tranquility, that's what peace is. It's not just, oh, no, I don't want to hear it, I don't want to hear it. It's, even if I do hear it, I'm okay. Because I have inside of me everything that is needed to flourish. So come to me with all of your drama. That's fine. Guess what? I have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of me. And that drama that you are bringing to my presence is not going to faze me. So we maintain our peace. How do we maintain our peace? Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3. You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust you. Isaiah is telling the people that God is going to keep you in perfect peace. What does it take, though? We've got to keep our minds stayed on him. It doesn't take long for us to turn on the TV, look at the news, scroll through social media, and see that there is so much unnecessary craziness happening. But what does it look like, again, for us to maintain our peace because our minds are stayed on him? So we maintain our peace. That last letter in our acronym, TIME, T-I-M-E, E, experience with God. How do we navigate life transitions? We remember our experiences with God. We remember that we have a history with God. We are able to check his resume and see our name on the, oh, yep, delivered her from that. Yep, set her free from that. Yep, forgave her from that. We have a history with God. We can check his resume. Has he ever failed you? Has he ever forsaken you? Has he ever walked away from you? Has he ever abandoned you? Has he ever overlooked you? Has he ever led you astray or led you in the wrong direction with his rod and with his staff? No, you are his sheep. He is our great shepherd, and he has walked with us. We have walked with him so closely. So why would we stop during our transitions walking with him so closely? John chapter 10, verse 27 reminds us, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. We are positioned to listen to his voice. Why? Because he knows us, and our response is to follow him. Again, we have experience with God. There is no situation that we have found ourselves in where we can't go back and look and go, oh my goodness, you were there the whole time, God. I might have felt lonely during that time. I might have felt abandoned during that time. I might have felt like I was all alone and had to figure it out on my own. But no, you were there the whole time. The entire time. Even when I was trying to run away from you, God, you were still there. It was your mercy and your grace that were chasing me down, came following after me. You've never left me. And so I want you to go back to the transition that you thought about earlier. Remember, I told you it wasn't just a rhetorical question. Go back to the transition that you thought about earlier. Think about it again. And for those of you who are introverted, I want to invite you to write something down. For those of you who are extroverted, I want you to feel free to find someone and talk to them about what I'm getting ready to share. And for those of you who are watching online later on, you can just, you know, take some notes or talk to somebody about it. But I want to ask this question. As you think about the transition, or maybe transitions, some of y'all got a lot going on right now. Do you think about the transitions in your life? Which of the letters, T-I-M-E, which of those letters are you able to be honest with yourself and say, yeah, I'm struggling with this right now. I'm struggling implementing the fact that I need to maintain my peace. Or I'm struggling trusting God right now. And here are all the reasons why. I like to be in control. I think I know better. Yes, he flung the stars in the sky and he knows them by name, but I think I know better. And it's hard for me to trust him. There's space for that. That's what our journey with Jesus is all about, is there's space for that kind of doubt. There's space for that kind of wrestling. There's space for that kind of, I'm struggling, remembering all the things that God has already done for me, because this situation that I'm in right now is so big and so heavy and so hard. And so I want to invite you now, right where you are. This might seem a little weird, and it's okay. You don't have to invite me back. It's fine. But I want you to think about it. Which of those letters, the T, the I, the M, the E, which one of those letters are you currently struggling with right now? As you think about the transition that you're in right now, what are you struggling with? And again, if you're introverted, feel free to write it down. You don't have to interact with anybody right now, okay? And those of you who feel comfortable speaking with somebody about it, feel free to do that, and then I'll bring us back together for a time of prayer and then a final word, okay? So you've got time. You've got time. Again, this is probably not used to doing this, but we're doing it today because I'm here, okay? So feel free to take some time to think through that transition that you're going through, okay? Take a couple more minutes. If you have already shared with someone, or they've already shared with you, feel free to just pray for them. Feel free to pray for them however you feel led to. But we'll give each other a couple more minutes. All right. I would love to hear from three of you. Someone from the back wall, that section back there, someone from this section to my left, and then someone from this section to my right. I think it's important for us to hear, to bear witness to what our siblings in Christ are currently navigating, so we know how to pray for one another. So we know how to stand in solidarity with one another. And this is not a moment to embarrass anybody or, you know, make you feel any sort of shame or anything. But if anyone is willing to share, here's the transition. And here's what I'm struggling with. T-I-M-E. Maybe all four. I don't know. But here's what I'm struggling with. Again, so we know how to care for you, how to pray for you. One of the things that I love to remind people is, to be listened to is to be cared for. And so we get to care for one another by listening right now. Okay, so who from the back wall? Who wants to share from the back wall? Or the table, that back section. What's the transition and what are you struggling with? And you can stand so we can hear you nice and loud.
Jeez,
what'd you say? What happened?
Yeah, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I would say my wife and I have been going through a transition of like our house and our living situation. As we fix up our house, we become separate. So for me, it's the I in T time, just indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and a little bit of trust in God, that's all going to work out.
Yeah.
So, like, I and T.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, thanks for sharing.
Yeah.
We know how to pray for you now.
Thank you. Good job.
All right, who from this section over here wants to stand and share? What is that transition, and what are you struggling with?
For me, I would say N for maintain my peace. My mind and my heart are not aligned. Mm-hmm. My brain will say God's bigger than all this, but my heart's going a million miles a minute and living in a space of stress and anxiety. So trying to figure out how to align my mind and my heart.
Yeah, that's a real struggle. All right.
Okay, I will. maintaining the peace, because I think of, okay, my wife is 4 weeks out of having had hip surgery. And there are times she may end up on a news feed that she may bring her emotions to me. And it's just like, okay, I need to respond in a healthy manner because she's going through this. I've had to turn off my news feed because I don't want anything to feed my mind in a negative way. But maintaining peace, that's a challenge right now. There's so much things going on in the world. And for me, sometimes I don't even want to travel down that rabbit hole. To know, okay, this is how somebody else is thinking. I want to have the spirit of the Lord within me. But there's a chance, there's a time when that rabbit hole can present itself.
Yeah. Were you going to say something?
Yeah. I'm at a place too, what I just want to make friends of in my life now. Transitioning to a grandma now. So all just need to do that is not the same, you know, people just get older and use much more people that align with their life, you know. Church goers, things like that, you know, things that have positive impacts.
Thank you all for sharing. I'll just leave you with this. Again, you know, transitions happen. Change is inevitable. Change can be healthy. Change is unavoidable. And again, it's not just the transition itself, but it's how we respond to the transition that ultimately determines its impact. And so again, as God told the people of Judah in Isaiah chapter 30, verse 21, whether you turn, whether you wander to the right or to the left, your ears will hear, listen, and obey a voice behind you saying, this is the way, this is the direction, this is the path, walk in it. My encouragement to you all as individuals, but also as the body that makes up Edgewater Covenant Church, turn down the noise. Turn down the noise of the world so you can hear from God clearly during this time of transition when he says, this is the way, walk in it. Not these are the ways, this is the way, walk in it. And so God, I just thank you so much today for your clear voice reminding us that we can hear from you when you tell us that this is the way and we can walk in it. God, may we have the courage and the strength and the boldness like Joshua to know that you won't fail us. You will equip us to do the work that you've called us to. God, we thank you for that. We thank you for those who are experiencing life transitions right now, and perhaps it feels a little overwhelming. Perhaps it feels too big. Perhaps it feels like it's going to end in their ruin. I pray in Jesus' name that you would remind them of who you are. Remind them of your character. Remind them of your resume? Would they remember their history with you and remember that you will never fail them, you will never leave them, you will never forsake them, but you are always here with them? God, for some folks here today, they received really bad news this week, and that has been weighing on their hearts. I pray in Jesus' name that you would remind them of your love, remind them of your grace, remind them of your joy that will carry them through this season, just as you have carried them through other seasons in their lives. And God, for others who are experiencing transition, and perhaps it's life-giving. It's life-giving experiences. It's life-giving transitions that they are going through. I pray in Jesus' name that you would give them space to savor these really great times, to savor these great moments, that they wouldn't rush through or rush past these great moments, nor would they feel guilty for rejoicing, nor would they feel guilty for having fun in this season of their lives, whatever that may look like. God, I thank you that you're the God of all of it. You're the God of all comfort, and you're the God of all celebration, and we thank you for that. And so, God, I just pray in Jesus' name that you would continue to give the body here at Edgewater direction and vision and unity. God, would you give them grace? Would you continue, like the good shepherd that you are, continue to lead them? And sometimes you may even have to make them lie down beside still waters. So God, we thank you for that, and we do pray that you would continue to bless each person and each of their households that are represented here. God, we pray for, and I know we'll pray later, but we even pray for the young people who will be leaving for camp. God, I pray that it would not just be another trip for them, that it would not just be another time to get away for them, but I pray that they would have a supernatural encounter with you. God, that lives would be changed. God, that chains would be broken. Father, that healing would take place. God, that miracles would happen among these young people's lives. God, I thank you that there is no junior Holy Spirit, and you can work through these young people just as you work through older folks. God, I pray in Jesus' name that somebody's life would be changed and that they would walk away with clear direction on what it is that you have called them to, even at the age of 14, even at the age of 16, even at the age of 18. God, I pray in Jesus' name that they would have the courage and the boldness and the strength to walk in that path, even right now. Even if it doesn't make sense to their classmates, it may not make sense to the families that they come back home to. God, would you give them a resolve to walk in obedience and to listen to your voice? To listen to your voice. You know them, and they follow you. God, thank you for the young people. And God, we just thank you for this day. We pray that you would continue to lead us and guide us. God, thank you for who you are. Thank you for who you've created us to be, and thank you for what you've called each of us to do. In Jesus' name, we love you and we thank you. Amen. Amen. For our time of benediction this morning, and then we'll invite the young people up who are going to camp tomorrow. What time do you all leave tomorrow?
11.
11 a.m. Okay. Oh, look at that. You know 11 in the prophetic represents transition? Did you know that?
I didn't know that.
Wow. Look at God. I love when he does this. Ah! For our benediction, we'll just extend our hands. Palms upward just represents whatever we're holding on to that we don't need to be holding on to it. We let it go, but then we also, we save space for what it is that we need to receive. And just a simple reminder, that God tells us, this is the way, walk in it. This is the way, walk in it. One more time, this is the way, walk in it. Amen. Young people, come on up. We're going to pray for you. Huey, come on up. Young people, put some pep in your step. Come on.
Like you're excited.
And I actually... I have a little bit of anointing oil left. That means I've been praying for a lot of people. But we want to anoint each of you. There's nothing magical or spooky in this oil. It simply represents that you are being set apart for God to use exclusively
not just while you're away at camp, but even when you return to your homes, and that his hand is on you. Hugh, are you going to pray, yeah?
I'll do what I'm told.
Okay, yes. Hugh, you pray. I'll anoint you pray.
Okay, all right. Oh, I have to use the microphone. Great. I love it when I get to use the microphone. Praise the Lord. Let's bow. You know, I'm reminded of David. Now, he was a man whose heart was after God. And I am reminded of when Goliath came. And David, as a young man, said, "What is this? Why are we afraid of this person who is cursing the Lord? I'll go out and fight him in the name of the Lord." I'm so thankful for young people that take faith and make it their own. And I pray today for these young people as they go, Lord, that they will have a heart for God, that they will have a hunger for the word of God, a hunger for the presence of God. Lord, as a deer panteth after the brook, Lord, is the way I want them to come back just with, so filled with just like, oh, I can't wait to get more of God. Lord, you're going to be there in a mighty way, and you're going to have a chance, and you're going to want to meet with each one of them. And I pray, Lord, that their hearts will be open to you. I pray, Lord, that they are looking forward to speaking with you and being spoken to and listening to you. And Lord, because I know that you're going to do mighty works in them. These youth, they're the power in the church. Bless them, Lord, as they go. Keep them safe, Lord. I pray for their leaders. I pray, Lord God, for traveling mercies, getting there and coming back. Be with each one in a mighty, mighty way. I thank you and I praise you. In the wonderful name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Go in peace, not in peace.